back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. So, listen, if you want to call in, I'd be glad to hear your thoughts on this. I'd welcome it. Medical marijuana bill. You may be all for this. You may love it. I wonder if you love the way it went into place. I mean, is it? So let's say, okay, let's say for instance that you are like, oh, medical marijuana, we need that. Okay, you're welcome to tell me why. I'll tell you that I have some pretty strong feelings about it. I spent the first several years out of college working full-time for a rehab center for adolescents, and I never met an addict, who didn't start with marijuana. It was the gateway drug. So yes, I get it. But Phil, it's a prescription. It's for medical purposes. Okay, you say that. I'm not even really even talking about the efficacy, which we can challenge because some studies say it is, some studies say it isn't the right drug for the causes being touted. Now, I get it. There may be some good, solid anecdotal evidence, and there might be some studies that say what you want them to say. I can tell you that for every study you can show, there are other studies that show that it's not. So just know this. In the state Senate, we had two doctors. One was Dr. Tim Melson, State Senator Melson from up in the Shoals, who literally, you know, was the bill sponsor, medical doctor. While also in this listening area, we had Dr. Larry Stutz, Senator Stutz, who was opposed to the bill. We had the only two medical doctors. Now, I take it back. We also have, Jim McClendon, who's an optometrist, but nonetheless, he also voted against this. So, yeah, you had the doctors in the Senate were split because the medical community is also split. The states around the nation are split. Oh, by the way, keep in mind that you can say, we need this. Okay, you know what? There's a route. There's a route. You got your vaccine mandates for COVID done pretty quick, didn't you? How come we can't get the FDA to approve it if it's that great? Why is that? Well, I have theories. Number one, because it ain't that great. Number two, I will suggest that because as soon as it gets legalized, the big billion-dollar industry that is medical marijuana loses its cash cow. If people can grow it at home, they're not going to be going down to the dispensary to pay top dollar for what was grown on the highly regulated and licensed farms. And then all of a sudden, that piece of government and that revenue goes away. That's what we're looking at right now. They grow government. They create the thing that will never get unraveled. And they do it in the name of, we're helping. It's for the greater good. It's for the greater good? Okay. It's for the greater good? Then why didn't you go to D.C. and get it legalized? How about that? And I'm not for that. I'm just saying, your argument runs hollow if you're going to tell me that medical marijuana is the way to go, but you won't go and do it like every other prescription that we deal with. How is it that the U.S. military can still, you know, come in hot on a drug test for marijuana and someone can lose their career, but the state in which the military base is located is allowed to legalize it now for medical purposes and some of them for even recreational purposes? All right, those are all questions that should be answered just about the efficacy and the usefulness of marijuana in general. But let's talk about the way they did the bill. You've seen all the, all right, you just came through an election season for the primaries, right? You've seen all the ads, how conservative everybody is. Everybody's a Trump Republican. Everybody's gun-toting pro-lifer. You know, you got, doesn't even matter what office you're running for. He had Jeremy Oden. Always toting Jeremy Oden. He's running for the Public Service Commission. What's that got to do with anything? All right, but that's what happens. You know, there's always a picture with a farmer, a picture with a gun, a claim of pro-life, a talk about Christian values, and the Trump Republicans. So those are all the things that have to be in every campaign season, apparently, now. And yet the things they say they stand for don't flesh out when you look at the bill that was passed. Why do I say that? Well, I mentioned earlier when I was talking to Jeff that I wrote a piece in 2019 about this very bill. When I was working as the chief policy officer for the Alabama Policy Institute, I wrote a piece called "The Medical Marijuana Bill Looks More Like a Trojan Horse." And I said in the opening paragraph of that I could write for days on the draft Cannabis Commission bill and not even talk about marijuana. because the bill contains so many other things. And I'm gonna unpack those for you, because you need to know what all was included in this legislation that Republicans in Montgomery decided they had to do it that way. They couldn't mitigate. What if I had liked marijuana? We were suggesting all the things they could do differently. I didn't like marijuana, but I could say it could be done differently, and they would not even consider it. Hey, let me jump over and grab a caller on line one. Will from Harvest. Hey, Will, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
A while ago, I think you just said, if I understood correctly, that they should have done it right and gone to Washington and changed it. Marijuana law.
Yeah, when I say right, but I'm talking about... Yeah, when I say right, I'm talking about like every other prescription has to go through FDA approvals and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Understood. Yes, sir. And thank you for elaborating on that. But is that not, should we not give the states their choice? And so it's a state choice?
Well, then why do we do that on any other medication? We have a Federal Food and Drug Administration that actually regulates the medical industry in that regard, the pharmaceutical industry, for a reason.
And they're doing a bang up job, right?
Yeah, well, there's that. We got issues with that too, I know. Okay. But nonetheless, the truth of the matter is, if you're going to have a patchwork quilt of what is considered good, the next thing you know, you're going to have people crossing over into Tennessee to get a different kind of chemotherapy, or you're going to have people going to Alabama to get this medical treatment. This is not like abortion. This is a prescription. And it's a chemical that crosses state lines, and it becomes a thing that you cannot say is not going to affect the neighboring state if you don't have it regulated in a national, broad-based way. Every other prescription is required to do that. Hey, Will, I hate it, man, but we're up against a break that I have to take. If you want to call back after the break, I'll be glad to talk to you some more. 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Call in if you want to. We'll be right back. I'm a syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live from the Right Side Studio, local, state, national, all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right. Hey, by the way, Will from Harvest was on the line beforehand. I hated it, but we had like a minute to go. There was not time for 20 questions, and if he wants to call back, you're welcome to it, Will. Go ahead and then just tell me up front, too. I would assume the way Will was headed, that he's a fan of medical marijuana. I'm just not. I'm not going to be. But I'm also really not a fan of the way the bill came together, because no one would ever explain some of the things that were written into that bill that are playing themselves out right now as a big government, big taxation, invasion of privacy type bill. That's what it was. So let's set aside your feelings about medical marijuana just for a second. How do you feel about this? In Alabama, we don't tax prescriptions. On the things that we do tax at the point of sale, Alabama's state tax rate, state sales tax rate, is 4 cents. In the medical marijuana bill, they set the taxable rate for the state at 9 cents, with an additional 2 cents at the local level, meaning that if medical marijuana is so important, if it's so necessary for people's lives, then why then did the state legislature feel like it was also necessary to tax it at 11 cents on the dollar? Allow it to be taxed at 11 cents on the dollar. What else do we pay for in this state besides gas at the pump where we have that high level of tax rate? Show me. Tell me why it was necessary for them to more than double the state sales tax rate. And oh, by the way, when you consider the fact that we don't tax prescriptions in general anyway, it's even more than double. It's 100 times more. So there you go. There's one. How about this? It grows government. You know, the Republicans are the party of small government, right? Really? Are we? Well, this one grew the government by having to stand up an entire new thing called the Cannabis Commission. It's a department now. It's going to have its own staff. It's going to hire full-time employees. There was no cap. We suggested the Policy Institute put a cap on the hiring. No, they didn't want to do that. Why? Because as they get more money, they'll grow more government. They can hire more people. They can do more stuff. So what you're saying is you want to grow government. Just go ahead and admit it. And by the way, they're also going to have a full-time investigative staff. Don't we already have ALEA? Yes, we do. Don't we already have the Attorney General's office? Yes, we do. Now we're also going to have investigators who work separately and solely for the Alabama Cannabis Commission, which, by the way, how do you feel about this? In general, not just about marijuana, how do you feel about the fact that the new investigators, according to, and I think it was page 27 of the bill, I got to go back and look. I'm going from memory on that piece. But the commission investigators will be able to operate independently of other law enforcement agencies, and they will be specifically states in the bill, they will have a right to search and seize Alabama citizens and their property, and this is a quote unquote, without a warrant. Without a warrant. That's right. Warrantless search and seizure is in the bill. How do you feel about that? I don't care how you feel about marijuana. I'm asking you how you feel about people law enforcement without a warrant coming and saying, we're here to search you. We're here to search your house. We're here to search your store. Where's your warrant? I want to see the warrant. I don't have to have a warrant, sir. I was authorized to do it. Well, don't we have a right to due process and undue search and seizure being prevented by the Constitution? You would think so. But Republicans who pushed this through in Montgomery did not see fit to amend that when we pointed it out to them. How about this? When you grow government and when you hire a new investigative arm and give them the authority to do so without a warrant, then you also have things like the taxation that I told you about. What about the fact, though, that let's say it's necessary for you to have this opportunity for medical marijuana because they say the efficacy of it is to, you know, help prevent seizures in children, okay? You can't get it prescribed to some parents to be able to administer. What do you mean? Well, because if they have a record that prevents them from being qualified as what the Medical Cannabis Commission will deem a certified caregiver, that you will have to have an outside caregiver come into the home to administer the medication. Really? Yes. So how many other pills do you have to give your child that someone has to be licensed by an outside commission to come into your house to give? None. How about this? When Will and I were talking on the phone a minute ago, he was questioning why I said we should go through the FDA. If you're going to say something is a new prescription that's going to be given on a national level, okay, there's an FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. I'm not a big fan of some of the ways the FDA has handled COVID. I'm not. Don't think I'm saying FDA is wonderful. No. But what I am saying is there is a procedure under the law for how we handle pharmaceuticals. Well, they've skirted that by making it a non-FDA regulated, quote-unquote, pharmaceutical. What you also, though, can't do is go have a pharmacist prescribe it. So now you're going to have Guido with a nose ring working at the dispensary. A dispensary? Yes, because now it's going to create the entire new entity called dispensaries. They're going to be like vape shops. They're popping up everywhere. They'll have to be sanctioned, licensed. They'll have to be, you know, regulated. But they're going to be everywhere. And they're going to have the green cross, not the red cross, but the green cross on the door. And you're not going to have any pharmacists in there who are trained to do things in accordance with, you know, what the doctor prescribes. Why? Because being a non-FDA sanctioned pharmaceutical, so to speak, pharmacists can lose their license if they prescribe it. So you will not have any, you'll not have any pharmacists in play. You'll have, you know, like I said, Guido with the nose ring, who's going to prescribe it for you and put it in the right. I know you're laughing, Boomer. Just hang in there, bud. It does create the mental image. You know it does. How about this? Home rule. So do you think that you should have the ability for your community to sort of set certain standards? Would you like that? What about this? What if your community does not want the big pot farm? What if you're concerned that it might, you know, create security issues? What if you're concerned that people might try to, you know, make midnight trips to the pot farm and do a little bit of side cultivation, if you know what I mean? Well, you don't have a say in that because you're not allowed to ban pot farms from your local communities. So your county commission, your city council, you're not allowed to say, we're not going to issue licenses to pot farms. The most recent draft of the legislation. Now, I take it back. I got to go back and check, because that was in one version of the bill. Then Alpha may have gotten involved, but I think Alpha was lobbying on behalf of, and I usually agree with Alpha, which is, you know, this one I didn't. Alpha saw this as a possible cash crop, and they wanted to make sure that their members had an opportunity if they wanted to. So the most recent draft of the legislation that I was reviewing when I wrote this article in 2019, it specifically banned the right of local communities to opt out of the marijuana farming industry. So again, if your local leaders are concerned, they don't have a choice. And there's more. But did I say anything in there that sounded like Republicans? No. I said all the things that Republicans say they don't stand for. All of it. And let's talk about slippery slopes. So while it may not happen here, because it's not like, you know, it's not like Washington, D.C. is filled up with farmland availability for growing crops, or for that matter, Washington, D.C. is probably not, you know, filled up with folks who are going to have dispensaries. I'll take it back. They are going to have dispensaries. But the Washington, D.C., according to an activist organization called Marijuana Moment, you can figure where they're coming from, Marijuana Moment, not net. That's all they write about is marijuana. Marijuana, we got it, marijuana, marijuana. Last dance with Mary Jane, here we go. D.C. Council, they say on June 28th, the Washington, D.C. Council votes to let medical marijuana patients self-certify without doctors in a workaround to the federal block on recreational sales. What is happening here, Phil? What are you saying to me right now? What I'm saying to you is this. The idea that this is not a slippery slope has already been put to the wayside by a number of states who have done it. Colorado is now recreational, among others. Washington, D.C. decided, medical marijuana. But Congress does not want people smoking dope legally at the base of the Washington, you know, monument. So they blocked us from doing this because it's Washington, D.C. It's not a state. Well, the city council in D.C. just decided, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We found a loophole. We're going to let people self-certify. They don't have to go to a doctor in order to get their quote-unquote prescription. We're going to let them self-certify. Self-certify? Well, how about this? I self-certify that I need opioids. I self-certify that I need name your treatment. I self-certify that I need this prescription, that prescription, those prescriptions over there. I self-certify. This is making a mockery of the law at this point. What they just did was they basically created, according to the article here on Marijuana Moment, they even say it, they have effectively gone to recreational marijuana by not requiring there to be any medical intervention to get your medical prescription. Really? Really. And all that stuff, by the way, all the stuff I told you about earlier, is now a part of Alabama's law. And the Medical Cannabis Commission is working diligently to make sure it gets in the hands of people. But right now they're saying it could be late 2023. Oh, boy. Well, we finish this story up when I get back from the break. Go ahead and move us to the break there, Kelsey. When I get back from this one, I'll just kind of opine for a moment, looking at one story on Reuters about where this is going in terms of litigation. There's protections in the bill, sort of. Are they enough? I don't know. We're seeing trends in litigation right now related to medical marijuana. I'll talk about those when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got a lot more. are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, hey, by the way, in a few minutes here, we're going to be shifting gears a little bit. Those of you on our Birmingham market stations, WXJC 101.1 FM, WYDE 850 AM, based out of Birmingham there, Crawford Media Group. You guys are going to be switching over to Priority Talk with my friend Greg Davis. He'll take it from there. Up in the Huntsville market, we stay the same. WVNN 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Right Side Radio continues for another hour after the top of this hour. Work accordingly. Hey, listen, I was finishing up this segment on high times and cash crops. This is a mega industry, and it's also a growing industry. The medical marijuana industry is a cash cow, a cash crop, if you will. Make no bones about it. One of the folks that is apparently waiting anxiously to have a grow farm in the medical marijuana industry is one of the guys from the band Alabama. He's sitting on hold waiting for the Cannabis Commission to finish up their rules and regulations. But that being said, one of the trends that we're also seeing is an increase, according to a story I've got here on Reuters, dated July 14th, showing that there's an emerging trend in what they call cannabis litigation. I expect this. Now, what's interesting is they didn't talk about cannabis litigation that I can see in this article related to incidents that occur by people who are, you know, the victims of accidents or on-the-job injuries because of someone who was using medical cannabis. Here's what's going to wind up happening. You're going to see some who I guarantee are going to say, listen, you're an over-the-road truck driver. You cannot be under the influence of medical cannabis. We don't care. It's just, you can't do it. And then they're going to have an accident, and they're going to test positive. And they're going to say, we told you. And they're going to say, my doctor prescribed it and said I had to have it. And then you're going to be in a conundrum. Your doctor said you had to have it, and yet your job said you can't have it. And then someone died because of an auto accident. Don't tell me there's not going to wind up being litigation like that. There's going to be on-the-job injuries where workers' comp's going to get involved and go, you were high as a kite, dude. Yeah, my doctor prescribed it. I had to have it. I had to go to work and feed my family, but I had to have that medication. Okay, how's this going to work out? I know that stuff was included in the bill. I do not recall all the details, but I remember that some of the Alabama medical cannabis bill did address liabilities. There was a great deal of interest from the NFIB and the BCA, that's small business and big business, in trying to prevent future liabilities. But I'm just gonna tell you right now, there's gonna be an artful lawyer out there somewhere who's gonna say, here's my workaround, or they're gonna test it and just make the Supreme Court of Alabama either side with them or not. And we're gonna see it happen soon, I guarantee you. As soon as it becomes a thing in Alabama, you watch, within a year you're gonna begin seeing cannabis related litigation. The article I've got on Reuters talks about the fact that we're seeing other things that are happening. In their review of cannabis litigation around the nation, they said 21% of the litigations that they're seeing right now are dealing with things like state and local governments taking action against the licensing or the dispensaries or challenging things that are happening with those who have been allegedly licensed to dispense. Okay, there's that. They're also seeing, though, just the opposite. They're seeing actions related to the administration and regulation of the state cannabis market, things like, you know, suing because you're over-regulating or suing because the market has been confined in some way by hyper-regulation or suing because someone lost their license after an investment and they're going to say, well, the one down the street where Guido with the nose ring works, no one's saying a word about him. He's selling under the table. You didn't go regulate him, and there's going to be lawsuits about that. They're saying that that's one of the biggest ones happening. Intellectual property disputes, you know, people are going to be developing their own patents for the next best version of medical grow. You're going to have, right now they say roughly 5% are consumer class actions and include things like, you know, people getting spam email from medical cannabis dispensers or dispensaries and sellers. That's interesting. Next thing you know, you're getting spam texts. Do you want the best weed? Guido's got it, and it's local. You know, just, you're gonna see those. And then you have the thing right now too, where they're saying that within the industry, failure to comply with state laws and regulations made up about 4% of litigation. And then there's even antitrust suits, like where there's monopolies that are being built already in this industry because it's so lucrative for so many. Yeah, this is going to be a thing, y'all. But I'm going to tell you right now, however you feel about marijuana, I don't like it. I don't. And I got personal reasons for why I don't. But however you feel about marijuana in general, this bill was everything that Republicans say they don't stand for. This bill was big building of government. This bill was taxation at rates that we don't normally ever see on anything, much less a prescription, so-called. This bill is a non-FDA-approved product, which is being disguised as a prescription. So you can't go to a pharmacy. Now you have to go to a quote-unquote dispensary. This bill is hyper-regulation. This bill is violation of rights to privacy and due process. This bill requires parents to sometimes have to step aside and allow a caregiver to come in and administer medication. Everything you should not see from a red state supermajority. And there it is. All right, folks, enough of that. Let's move on. We'll do something different when we get back. We're going to Brick and Mortar Rebound. I want to hear your calls, too. What are your thoughts? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.